Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And away we go. Welcome in, South Carolina. What is happening upstate? Good to be with you. It is Monday, the first day back after a long red, white, and blue freedom-filled weekend. We are back on the air. It is the Rob Brown Show right here, live from the couch at the Casa de Love and only on ESPN Upstate, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, and of course all around the world on your smart speaker. You just tell Alexa to play ESPN Upstate and she'll say, playing ESPN Upstate from radio.com. And then she'll play ESPN Upstate from radio.com. But if you don't have a smart speaker, that's okay. You can use a PC, laptop, or smartphone. Just get the radio.com app and you can listen to the show from anywhere around the world. And you can utilize the Radio Rewind feature. Yes, indeed. If you have missed any of the show, you can rewind up to 24 hours of live programming. So if you get to listen to this show, but the kids got you busy running around, you can't see, you can't listen to Mark Ryan and Offsides with Mark and Zoe after this show, don't you worry, Radio Rewind's got you. If you can get to Mark Ryan after the 5 o'clock whistle blows, but you can't listen to all of this show because you got the work getting in the way, that's okay. The Radio Rewind feature's got you up to 24 hours. You can go back and listen to any live local programming that you have missed. My man DJ Tim, back in the network studio, scratching up the ones and twos. Timbo, what's the word, brother? How was your weekend, man?
It was pretty good, I'll say. I had a good Saturday with friends and everything. Yeah, Lonzo made me come back into work on Saturday night. But other than that, it was a really good weekend.
Now you got your Rona test yesterday. Tell me about it. Was it as bad as you thought it was?
No, you were spot on. The worst part was waiting in the car line. I got there about 12:50, didn't pull out till almost 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, it was so weird. But have you seen, you know the movie Cars, the first one,
right?
Where Doc looks at McQueen and goes, you know, in order to turn left, you got to turn right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, when in that parking lot, man, we go straight in, we turn left, go all through the loop-de-loop just to go back over to the right side. You know, it was like we had to turn left in order to go right. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, when is this going to end?
But go ahead.
But the test itself wasn't as bad. Honestly, like, you were right. Like, the flu test was honestly much worse. She was like, okay, I'm going to stick this in there, and it's going to be for about – I just need 3 seconds, okay? And she had me cover my mouth, and she put it in there, and she held it in for 3 seconds. She even counted 1, 2, 3, and then took it out. It was fine. You know, eyes watered a little bit, but other than that, it wasn't as bad. Like, they don't go anywhere near as far as we were told. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's really, really wasn't all that bad, I didn't think. And now Tim and I both in the holding pattern as far as getting our results back. But that's where we are. That's what we got going on. And let's get to it. What do you say? We've got a bunch of stuff that we need to talk about on the show today. Very busy weekend in sports. Obviously, it will not be a Rona politics or social movement free version of the show because this weekend was absolutely cranked up busy with a ton of that. That needs to be discussed. We have got more positive tests flowing in from around the sports world. The MLB has multiple teams that now have positive tests laid out. We have found out some more NBA teams that have gotten positive results. We have seen some organizations shutting down locker rooms, some organizations shutting down their facilities. We've also learned more about how baseball teams are operating with the Rona taking place all around them. So we're going to get into that and a whole lot more as the show progresses, but we always bat lead off with the lunch break down, the three things that you have to know before we go talk sports with your friends, family, coworkers, pets, or the wall, whoever it is you spend your lunch break with. And a four-item version of the lunch breakdown today, which we will run through very rapidly and then bring back all of these topics later on in the show. Item numero uno, we found out over the weekend that the Washington, D.C.-based National Football League program will indeed be looking at changing their name. The D.C. team has begun what they are calling a, quote, thorough review of their nickname Friday, a significant step towards moving on from what experts and advocates call a dictionary-defined racial slur as their name. Dan Snyder bought the team back in 1999, and despite multiple calls, has always said he has no willingness to change the team name, but the recent conversation on race has renewed opposition to the name and prompted sponsors to speak up. With the support from the NFL, it may finally lead to a new moniker for the long, struggling, storied franchise with long-ago Super Bowl success. Commissioner Roger Goodell said, quote, "In the last few weeks, we have had ongoing discussions with Dan Snyder, and we are supportive of this important step." The team, in a statement, said that recent events around the U.S. and feedback from their own internal community prompted the formal review. The statement said via Snyder, quote, or I should say Snyder said via the statement, quote, "This process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and history of the franchise, but also input from our alumni, the organization sponsors, the National Football League, and the local community it is proud to represent on and off the field." Adam Schefter tweeted out the statement and said, quote, "Here it is. The Redskins are undergoing a thorough review of the team's name, and let's be clear, there's no review if there's no change coming. That name is on the way out." So, big name change potentially for the D.C. Native Americans. And now we found out that at least one Major League Baseball club is following the same path. The Cleveland Indians now say that 2020 may be the final season with the Cleveland team playing under that name. In a statement released on the club's Twitter account, team officials said they are, quote, "committed to engaging our community and appropriate stakeholders to determine the best path forward with regard to our team name." The team emphasized in a statement that it is, quote, "committed to making a positive impact in the community," end quote, "and embracing its responsibility to advance social justice and equality. The Indians' name is one of the most visible ways it connects to its fans," end quote. We do not know if Cleveland will go down that path, but they are at least conducting the review. And finally, also in item number one, the one team with a similar name that has made no comment, just down the road in the ATL, the Atlanta Braves, as of right now, do not seem to be considering a name change. After the D.C. football team and the Cleveland baseball team have both recently announced they are reconsidering their team names, the evaluations prompted questions to the Atlanta Braves if they would follow suit. In a recent statement, the Braves suggest they were considering, or did not suggest they were considering, a name change. They instead said their franchise, quote, "honors, supports, and values the Native American community." The statement continued, quote, "We have also held meetings with our Native American working group, which will collaborate with us on cultural issues, education, and community outreach to amplify their voices and show our fans they are still proudly here. The Atlanta Braves have a meaningful commitment to honor the Native American community, and we are excited about working together to ensure this happens." So, the D.C. football team's name is on the way out, it would appear. It does appear the Cleveland Indians are likely to follow suit, though that is not as big of a guarantee from experts. But the Atlanta Braves right now saying that they are not considering changing their name. All of that wrapped up in lunch breakdown item number one. Item number two, a wild year gets even wilder in Major League Baseball. They have made it official that the Dodgers will not host the 2020 All-Star Game because no one will. The game scheduled for July 14th was canceled Friday because of the pandemic. The 2021 game is set to take place right down the road in ATL at Truist Park. Because of the pandemic, opening day delayed from way back in March 26th until July 23rd or 24th. Rob Manfred said in a statement, quote, "Once it became clear we were unable to hold this year's All-Star festivities, we wanted to award the Dodgers with the next available All-Star game." So the Dodgers will be delayed for at least a couple of years. This will be the first time since 1945 that no games will be held. In 45, obviously, it was canceled due to World War II. It was slated to take place at Fenway Park that year, and any player selections were canceled as well. We will see if the MLB does select All-Stars this year or elect not to go forward with any of the ceremony, pomp, and circumstance without a game to be played. The Dodgers last hosted the Midsummer Classic in Dodger Stadium in 1980. It is the third oldest in baseball behind Fenway and Wrigley Field. Still only holds 56,000. They have not increased that capacity since the 60s. And as of now, despite the fact that there have been other upgrades, it will not upgrade the most recent All-Star event after baseball has canceled it. Item number three, NASCAR. Kevin Harvick is one of the hottest drivers in all of NASCAR, and we will talk about him. But the big news from the weekend, NASCAR had done a what appeared to be on the surface very good job of distancing itself from positive COVID-19 test. But the first NASCAR driver to be test positive was identified on Friday as seven-time NASCAR champ Jimmy Johnson. He had to miss the races this weekend at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The 44-year-old, the first driver at any NASCAR level to test positive, the news Friday evening cast a shadow over the weekend's racing at the Brickyard. That was the first miss for seven-time and the last 663 consecutive NASCAR races. His consecutive streak comes to an end. It is the longest streak amongst active drivers. 12th in the overall standings is Jimmy Johnson, 63 points inside of the playoff picture. NASCAR rules state a driver must be symptom-free and have two negative coronavirus tests in a 24-hour span to return. NASCAR said it has granted Johnson a playoff waiver. Now, NASCAR does hand those waivers out like hotcakes, but for now, they are good to go. Jimmy Johnson will be in the playoff, though he does miss at least one, likely two, NASCAR events, having to miss the Brickyard last weekend, and will likely be out for this weekend as well. We will look more at Jimmy Johnson's situation later on in the show as well. And finally, item number four, before we head to a break to get the first segment under our belts, National Hockey League set to return. The NHL and the Players Association agreed yesterday to return protocols. So we will have hockey. That was the last major step towards the return. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly told the AP there was an agreement on protocols for training camps and games. The sides are still negotiating an extension of the CBA, which is crucial to the process. But the protocols themselves have been signed off. To complete a return, two-thirds of the league's board of governors, a majority of the players' executive committee, and full membership must vote in favor of the return. If everything is ratified, it will end the shutdown that began in mid-March. Games will likely resume in late July or early August, with 24 teams taking part in an expanded playoffs, finishing with the Stanley Cup being awarded sometime in October. Assuming approval from owners and players, teams are expected to open training camps next week on July 13th before traveling to the two hub cities, which right now look like Edmonton and Toronto, two cities in Canada. Returning for the playoffs is seen as a victory for the NHL. which, like other top leagues, face the prospect of losing millions more with the television revenue tied to the postseason. There were deep concerns the rest of the season, and word of positive tests didn't help. So far, the NHL has reported 26 positive tests since June 8th, in addition to a dozen positive before that. We will see what is next for the National Hockey League, but the biggest step forward in the process, without the inclusion of the signing of an extended CBA, is in the history books. National Hockey League hockey looks like it's on its way to a return at the end of this month. Let's take our break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Plenty of stuff to talk about today. We are starting to get an inside look at what MLB training in the age of social distancing looks like. We'll talk about that. The NFL players voted over the weekend to have no preseason games at all. Will that hold up? We'll address that on the flip side and plenty more. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. DJ Tim back on the ones and twos in the radio ranch. Great to have you here on ESPN Upstate, all around the upstate and all around the world. And we are back in the saddle again, live from the couch here at the Casa de Love. Your boy Rob Brown bringing it to you every weekday from noon to 3. Mark Ryan was Offsides with Mark Ryan. Comes up from 3 to 7. Then you get Spain and Company with our girl Sarah Spain coming to you at 7 p.m. taking you into the ESPN nighttime lineup. We are thrilled to have you along for the ride. Of course, all and across all of our ESPN programming right here on the Upstate. We are starting to see what teams' preparation in the age of social distancing looks like. You know, that's kind of been one of the big questions as we are starting to see teams have to deal with the pandemic while they prepare for seasons. Now that baseball has its starting date, the NBA has its starting date, it appears that the NHL is one signature away from receiving its starting date. Golf is already underway as Bryson DeChambeau wins the Rocket Mortgage Championship this past weekend in Detroit. We're going to talk about that coming up a little while because my man Bryson took a little heat over the weekend, a weekend that had some drama in it for Bryson, but it also had a trophy at the end of it. Dude is changing the golf game. And we are going to talk about that coming up in a little while. But before we get into any of that, kind of an interesting piece that was written by Logan Newman of ArizonaSports.com as he spent a little bit of time getting a bit of an inside look, if you will, at the way that the Diamondbacks are holding camp as they get prepared for the first day of Major League Baseball. Shortened season is approaching for MLB, and teams like the Diamondbacks are trying to find out what the new normal is, how to get ready for the day itself. And we've now gotten a look at that courtesy of Logan Newman, who said that it's an interesting set for the Diamondbacks. One of the interesting things so far going on for the D-backs, And this applies to a handful of Major League Baseball teams. It appears to be relatively true of most of the teams so far. One of the biggest differences is that the team is effectively split into chunks. They are utilizing both the home and away locker room. So you've got about half the team in the home locker room, about half the team in the away locker room, and the players are being separated. There's at least one locker's worth of space between every player on the squad. It's a split clubhouse right now. And Christian Walker said, quote, "You still feel like there's a team and there's plenty of guys around all the time. But for me, that's the weirdest thing, not looking around and seeing all the familiar faces," end quote. Players are being told to show up to the stadium for practice, already prepared for practice. So they are showing up dressed in their pants and uniform when they get to the stadium. They've also separated the pitchers. Non-live throwing pitchers enter the field with the position players. They work out, and the pitchers exit. Later, the live pitchers enter as position players continue to work on defense and some batting practice. But there is a positive to this. According to their manager, Tori Lavullo, he says that guys are actually getting more BP than they traditionally would, because of the way that the time limits are working out for the team itself. He said that he's seeing guys get around 8 at-bats a day and about 4 at-bats in a matter of half an hour. Guys are getting a lot more BP with split-up practices, more opportunity to stand at the plate. Lavullo says pitchers are also getting more work. He pointed out Merrill Kelly and said that Kelly threw 3 innings and 50 pitches, which is much more than a typical first day of spring. Walker likened the pause to a rain delay. He said even though he saw the chance the season might get canceled, there was always a chance the tarp will be pulled back off the field and they had to be prepared should they start up again. And now having this additional BP, additional mound time for the pitchers, is basically getting prepared for that. The Diamondbacks will be the next team to start up their scrimmages. The Chicago Cubs scrimmaged over the weekend. It was a live scrimmage amongst themselves, and there have been some teams that have already started the scrimmage portions of their return to the field. But they say the atmosphere is dramatically different. There's no first couple of game jitters as you ease into the season. They say that the mentality is different for game number one on July 24th when the season gets started. In that, you know, when it's opening day, you might go 15, 20, 25 games deep into the season, and those games kind of, and this is something I've said about baseball for years, those first 25 games or so, they don't really feel like they matter all that much, right? And we saw that last year. I know I've brought this stat up a number of times, but it's because it is important to the season we're in right now. 50 games last year in the DC Nationals were like 19-31, right? They did not look like a playoff team. Then they hit their stride, then they gelled, and then all of the sudden, they found themselves screaming towards the top of the playoff rankings and ended up as your World Series champs. They don't have that luxury this year. July 24th, that game matters dramatically. With only 60 games on the roster, that is a big deal. They have to jump straight into this one. So the attitude, the atmosphere around these baseball teams is dramatically different than it has been in the past. And that first game is going to matter from the get-go, which means that these teams are spending as much time as they can trying to gel as a team, trying to come together as a team, but do so at a point in time where protocols mandate that they cannot be a team, at least not in the way that we traditionally perceive them. They are split up into locker rooms. Those locker rooms are split up into positions. Teams are having to practice in rotations instead of together as a group, and it is very, very interesting. So there's just a little inside look at what baseball teams are going through as we get ready for the return to the diamond. We can talk about that later on as the week progresses. Let's go ahead to our break. When we come back here in just a minute, the National Football League, the NFL's players voted over the weekend to have no preseason games at all. Will that get approved? And if it does, where does that put them in terms of preparation for the season? We'll address that and a lot more when we come back in a minute. My name is Rob Brown, DJ Tim on the ones and twos. This is the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Quote, has Bubba Wallace apologized to all of those great NASCAR drivers and officials who came to his aid, stood by his side, and were willing to sacrifice everything for him only to find out that the whole thing was just another all caps hoax, end quote. Look, I do my best, and I know some of you will not believe this statement, and that's okay, but all I can tell you is the way that I approach this show. I really do my best to try to not, when politics and sports bump head-to-head, not bring specific politicians into conversation about it. But I kind of have to, right? I kind of have to, especially when the politician in question is the most noticeable politician in all of the country, and that is President Trump, as he decided he wanted to weigh in a couple of weeks later on the NASCAR story about Bubba Wallace. And Bubba Wallace mentioned President Trump in a tweet earlier in the week. So I'm not sure, let me rephrase that. I am absolutely sure that is why the president felt the need to send out the tweet that he sent out about Bubba Wallace. But Bubba, so he said that the quote hoax, end quote, that and flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever for NASCAR. I have not seen the ratings from the weekend. What I do know is that the ratings right after the decision about the flag and the ratings from NASCAR right after Bubba Wallace's weekend at Talladega a couple of weekends ago, they had about a 2-week surge in viewership, and now they've kind of, from what I've seen, and again, I haven't seen the Indy numbers yet, but NASCAR seems to have pretty much held steady in terms of its television viewership. It appears that they have not lost, nor have they gained a large number of viewers. It appears that it is pretty much held stable, which is exactly what I thought would happen, right? I told you guys I thought what NASCAR would experience would be a slight gain in new viewership. You'd have some new viewers that, because of NASCAR stances, because of support for Bubba Wallace, you would have a small surge of new viewers to NASCAR, of which only a percentage of them would stick around for more than a couple of weeks. I will acknowledge that NASCAR is a niche sport. It is a sport that you either love or you hate, right? I mean, it's not like football where you can just kind of have it on in the background and you can kind of pay attention to it. You're either in for NASCAR or you're not. I also said that of all the what's the word I want to look here? For all of the criticisms of NASCAR, for all of the criticisms of Bubba Wallace, for all the criticisms of that sport over the past few weeks, and for all of the people that said, that's it, I'm done with NASCAR, I won't be watching anymore, only a percentage of that group would actually stay away. I said for a while that I thought that there would only be a small percentage of the people who said, I'm done with NASCAR, who would actually stay away. Because at the end of the day, your love for a sport it's kind of like being in a relationship with a regular person, right? Your love for a sport is traditionally deeper than, you know, a mild criticism of somebody. That's just kind of how it works. People love NASCAR, and the folks who love NASCAR are not going to suddenly stop loving NASCAR, even if they had an emotional reaction to a decision that NASCAR made. People who love NASCAR aren't going to stay away from NASCAR because they can't have a flag at the racetrack, right? Like that, I understand. It's kind of like the NFL thing from a couple of years ago. A lot of people said, "Oh, we're going to quit watching if they're going to let Colin Kaepernick and other players take a knee." And I'm sure that there was some percentage of people who did back away from NASCAR and who did stay away from the National Football League because of the decision processes that they made over the past few years/weeks. But at the end of the day, their love of sport was bigger than that. I'm not going to go so far as to say that they were simply virtue signaling. I am going to say that I get love of a sport, man. There have been plenty of decisions that the NFL and the NBA and the NHL and Major League Baseball specifically have made over the past couple of years. Plenty of decisions that absolutely drove me bananas, drove me up a wall. I thought they were terrible decisions. I hated the decisions. But at the end of the day, my love of sport was bigger than that. And I wasn't going to just go away from the sport. And I think the same is true with the folks who are angry at NASCAR, the folks who are angry at Bubba Wallace. At the end of the day, their love of NASCAR isn't going anywhere. When sports and politics crosses the way they have with President Trump sending out the tweet that he sent about Bubba Wallace and the situation with the door handle pull there in the garage, the problem that a lot of people have, myself included, are when fans or outsiders specifically, because I'll tell you, I don't know Donald Trump personally. I don't know that Donald Trump is or is not a genuinely a NASCAR fan, all right? I suspect he's not. I mean, I know he was the Grand Marshal at the Daytona 500. I know that he's been involved in NASCAR in some way, shapes, forms in the past. But I don't know how big of a fan he is. What I do know is that he's offered very little comment about all the things NASCAR has done right over the years. And trust me, NASCAR's got a lot going wrong right now. The way that race turned out this weekend was an absolute catastrophe. Multiple cars wrecking out. The tires created a problem. In fact, a Goodyear tire blows because of the fact that the NASCAR used what they call a diamond grate on the track there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which wore down on the tires. Goodyear is never pressured by NASCAR to deliver a better product, and so their tires were complete garbage over the weekend, caused for some blowouts. Cost Denny Hamlin a race. Guy was up front just a few laps to go, and he had a right tire cut down on him for no reason at all. Ends up slamming into the wall and turn run, costing himself the race. NASCAR has done a lot wrong. They continue to do a lot wrong. And I have criticized them and will continue to critique and criticize. But I'm trying to figure out why it is that the president decided that he needed to craft and create his own reality about what happened with Bubba Wallace. And here's the thing. Before you lash out at me, before you get mad at me for critiquing President Trump and his input to this discussion, I want you to keep in mind that every single driver, not a single driver, has spoken out in any way, shape, or form that lends any credibility to what happened in Bubba Wallace's garage stall being a hoax, right? I mean, it was not a hoax. Was it a misconstrued situation? Yes. Was the communication surrounding it poor? Yes, of course. All of that was handled incorrectly. But it was not a hoax, and if it was, somebody was really smart. Because they had to time travel back to October of 2019 to construct that hoax. They had to time travel backwards to put that rope where it was to create this hoax. The point that I'm making is it's very difficult for me to hashtag stick to sports. It's very difficult to me to focus on the sport. And we will. We're going to talk about Kevin Harvick coming up in a little while because dude is absolutely a machine on the racetrack right now. But it is very difficult for me to stick to sports when you have the loudest voices in the country not just coming out to talk about sports, to discuss sports, but to do so in a way that is, I'm sorry to say, inflammatory. When that happens, there's no way for people to just stick to sports. So, you go read the tweet, you gauge it for yourself. If you'd like to respond to it and tag me in it at the Rob Brown Show on Twitter, I'd be very interested to hear your input. Let's run to a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. And we will continue to stick to sports. All that and more coming up here in just a minute. My name is Rob. My man Tim's on the ones and twos back in the network studio. It's the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. DJ Tim back on the ones and twos here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Tim, how you feeling today, buddy? Because I got to tell you, and I'm not upset about it at all, but very aggressive on the comeback music today, man. Lots of heavy slamming those power chords today. You feeling all right, pal?
Yeah, I'm just trying to wake everybody up here on a Monday, you know?
It is kind of a sleepy Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of overcast outside here at the studio. It looks like it's going to rain. Oh, it actually is raining right now. Yeah. I'm just trying to keep everybody awake out there, you know, on this very overcast day, just trying to get everybody to jam out, you know? Wake up a little bit. Let's go.
Get it going, man. It's a sleepy Monday after a long 3-day weekend for most of us.
You're probably full on hot dogs, hamburgers, all that good stuff, and you know it's a Monday and you're trying to wake up. So I was like, it doesn't help hurt any. I'm trying to wake myself up too. So
what did you do for the fourth? Did you do anything special?
After I left the studio here around noon, I went back, got my brother, and we headed to our aunt's house. We went over there. We spent time with family. Obviously, we socially distanced, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we had a good time with family and friends. We had a bunch of hot dogs. Great hot dogs, by the way, too, man. It was so good. And then went back home, and then came back to work Saturday night, and then Sunday I spent 4 hours in a line getting ready to get tested. So that was my weekend.
I have to ask you because we had this conversation on the show a while back, and I will ask you, and I know the correct answer. Now I just get to see if you are correct or incorrect and what our level of friendship, whether it will grow or shrink here.
Oh, boy, putting pressure on me.
I am. Does mustard belong on a hot dog?
Yes.
Yes. Obviously, the answer is yes. Ketchup and mustard. And then if you would like to add, you know, relish or sauerkraut, that's up to you. But the traditional American hot dog is ketchup and mustard, right?
Yes, and don't get mad at me. I there are times where I do put mayonnaise on the hot dog as well.
I'm not mad at that. It doesn't bother me. If you're gonna put it on there, if you're gonna put mayo on there, at the most a very light layer of mayo, and this is true for hamburgers too, a very light layer of mayo on the bun, full coverage. And the utilization of mayo on a hot dog or hamburger is only to prevent the juice from the meat in question, to prevent the meat from having that juice soak into the bun and creating a very soggy bun. I'm not mad at mayo on a hot dog, but you can stay for me. Because a hot dog traditionally doesn't have enough time before it's demolished for the plump juiciness of a hot dog to cook into the bun itself. So no mayo on a dog for me. Give me ketchup and mustard. But on a hamburger, absolutely mayo goes on a hamburger bun. Both buns, light coating all the way through so that juice doesn't seep into the bun. It's imperative that you do this the right way, Tim.
Absolutely. On a hamburger, you know, you can go mayonnaise, ketchup with some pickles. I love that. But you know, if you were to take off the ketchup and add some barbecue sauce instead, I wouldn't be mad at it either, you know?
No, I'm all right with that. You know, if I'm going to create a burger with barbecue sauce on it, I also need some jalapenos on there. Give me some jalapenos.
That's where you lose me.
No, man. Put you some spicy to mix in with that sweet tang of the barbecue sauce, you know, that just touch of vinegar in the barbecue sauce, mix it up with a little spicy heat from a jalapeno. That's the way to go, man. That's the way to go.
Well, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, even if it's wrong. You know, you're still entitled to your opinion.
Look at Tim out here stealing my line. I love it. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the way to go if you'd like to connect with the broadcast. You can also text me at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. If you'd like to communicate with the show in that direction, you are welcome to. We'd love to have you here on the broadcast today. 844-477-3776 is the way to go to be a part of the conversation. The NFL players have unanimously voted against having any preseason games at all before the NFL season starts off. The NFL had already cut its preseason schedule from 4 games down to 2. Now the players are asking them to cut preseason games all the way around. The NFL has yet to formally announce the elimination of 2 of the preseason games, which they are expected to cut week 1 and week 4. It is not clear if the league will even listen to the NFLPA's NFL recommendation for the preseason. The regular season currently scheduled to start on September 10th. Most teams are set to kick off training camp on July 28th. The league is still planning to hold a regular season as scheduled, too, despite the massive spike in coronavirus cases around the country, with over 2.7 million confirmed cases in the U.S. as of Friday afternoon, and we are approaching the 130,000 death mark due to coronavirus. Though a lot can happen between now and the start of the regular season, it is still clear that there are a lot of details to be worked out, including this. So where would that leave the National Football League if they do indeed decide to cut out the regular season? And the answer is, I don't really know. The preseason, not regular season, excuse me, the preseason is a very valuable tool to NFL coaches. It's a very valuable tool to those on the bubble. I understand the desire not to have any. I'm not saying I do or don't agree. I honestly have thought about it all weekend long, and I don't know yet where I stand on the whole issue. I don't know yet where I stand on whether or not I think cutting the preseason is a good idea. In terms of the pandemic, it is a good idea. In terms of doing everything you can do to keep players from getting infected with the virus, it is a good idea. But as far as football goes, it's a terrible idea, right? You are decreasing the amount of time that NFL coaches have to evaluate the bottom end of their roster. You are decreasing the amount of time that bottom-tier players have to go out on the preseason field and prove themselves. There's a lot that would hurt. So I got to tell you, I'm up in the air. I'm up in the air. I don't know if this is a good idea for the NFL or not. I mean, from a pandemic sense, yes, it is. From a football stance, it's a terrible idea. Talk about that more when we come back. It's the Rob Brown Show on your radio and ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.